Chris, welcome to West Southwest.
Well, thank you, Robbie. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So first, Chris, can you explain exactly what a tax inversion is?
It is taking advantage of a combination of tax loopholes. What they do is legal. It's not what was intended under the tax law. Most economists strongly criticize it. Most congressmen, Republican and Democrats, condemn it. Until they get together with, kind of closing the loopholes, this will continue. So it's important to understand that what we're talking about here is legal. It is, I think, in my view, somewhat sleazy because it's slipping between the cracks under U.S. tax law. It's something which, in general, is not good for the U.S. And it's almost its sole purpose is to avoid American taxes. And if companies are avoiding American taxes, it means our annual budget deficit becomes larger. We end up with a bigger bigger government debt. And this is something which the U.S. government has, under the Bush administration 10 years ago, said they were closing it. Obama has tried some executive orders to close it. There was an announcement, I think it was just about 2 years ago, that Congress was working on a way of closing the loophole. So there had been a kind of a surge of these inversions up to 2013-14. Then it totally disappeared, waiting to hear what the new policies were. And the new policies are as full of loopholes as the old ones were. And so ever since then, we continue to have an announcement of actual inversions or of impending or negotiating inversions. As you mentioned, Perigo actually did it a couple years ago. But by the way, most of these inversions do not involve actually transferring the headquarters out of the United States. What it involves is transferring the legal location of headquarters. Perigo moved their world headquarters to Dublin, Ireland, but all of their senior administrators are still in Allegan, Michigan. When companies do this, few of them are as honest as Perigo was. I mean, they said, we're doing it for tax purposes. Most other companies claim that, there are other managerial reasons, but almost without exceptions, it is done for the avoidance of taxes. And it's something that is not good for us and that we need to put pressure on Congress to change.
Why, if this has been such an issue for 10 years, why has it been so hard for anything to happen, for any person to actually make something, a policy to make this stop?
Well, recently it's been hard to get anything done in Washington. And even with both Republicans and Democrats saying we need to do something about this, when it has become so non-functional, our government in Washington, even when everybody agrees that it's a good idea, there are so many with twisted motives like, if we're going to do this, then you've got to give us that. And even though everybody agrees this would be a good thing, it would certainly help the U.S. Economy if this was just taken totally off the table and companies weren't doing this anymore. And really, for most companies, they don't have to switch their headquarters overseas because other loopholes in the U.S. tax law allow companies to accumulate massive holdings of profits overseas. And as long as they do not bring the profits back into the U.S., they're not taxed under U.S. tax law. So Pfizer has accumulated almost $90 billion. Apple has accumulated more than $250 billion, some of these $270 billion, outside the U.S. It's never been taxed by the U.S. government, and it won't be until those profits are brought back into the U.S., and almost certainly it will never be brought back. So these loopholes are big enough to drive a semi-truck through, and what's worrisome now is that both of these practices are picking up momentum. They're becoming more and more common. As you indicated, Pfizer attempted to do this 2 years ago, and they tried to take over a British pharmaceutical company, and they were intending to do a tax inversion and move their headquarters to London, I guess. But the attempt fell through. Now they're trying to do it again with a different company, and they're making quite clear that apparently they're going to keep at it until they succeed. Some of the inversions have actually involved companies bigger than the American company taking over a foreign company, but most of these will be smaller companies that are being, like Perrigo took over a much smaller company in Dublin.
Sure. When it comes to, what are the real benefits for this for a company besides just the tax code? Are there other benefits to a tax inversion besides just saving some money?
Well, yes. If a company does, accumulate a lot of foreign profits overseas, as long as they're headquartered in the U.S., they will be subject to U.S. taxes. But once they move their headquarters overseas, their foreign earnings are no longer subject to U.S. taxes. So if Pfizer moved overseas with their $90 billion of past profits accumulated over there and subject to U.S. taxes, but if they did do a tax inversion and moved abroad, they would no longer be subject to any future American taxes on what they earn overseas. They would still be subject to taxes on their American earnings here in the U.S. But there are other gimmicks that companies use, and pharmaceutical companies are very big users of this, of transferring the bulk of all their profits outside the United States. They can, if for example, Pfizer might spend $100 million or $250 million on developing some major new drug. And then the expectation is they would be selling the drug here in the U.S. and overseas, offsetting all these expenses and eventually generating a good profit. But what they then do before they start realizing profits in the U.S. is they transfer the patents and copyrights and everything involving these new products overseas, or sell them at a rock-bottom price to one of their own affiliates overseas. And then they actually have to pay licensing fees to themselves overseas, and the licensing fees are tax deductible here. They don't earn that much profit in the United States, and they keep shifting it overseas. So all the development costs are borne here, which keeps profits down, and then they pay their own licensing fees to themselves. Another thing that a company can do is, if they are shipping to their own affiliate overseas, and if they want to avoid American taxes, they sell it to their own affiliate at a very low price. That means they generate a very small profit here in the U.S., and again, they generate a high profit overseas. And that's what's called transfer pricing. These techniques, the four of them that we've been talking about here, are all interrelated, and they all have the basic goal of shifting the profits from American companies in the U.S. overseas. And the total now is over $2 trillion that's held overseas.
Wow. I was going to ask how big of a problem. Is this something that nearly every company does? Does it tend to be bigger companies?
It tends to be bigger companies. And again, this is one of these holes in U.S. law that it's preferential to big companies and that small companies can't take advantage of. So when you hear companies complaining about having to pay high U.S. corporate income taxes, these are typically going to be companies that cannot take advantage of these loopholes, whereas these big companies, they claim they're subject to a 35% U.S. federal tax, but virtually none of the big companies ever pay that. It's the small companies that get stuck with it. So our tax system shoots ourselves in the foot. We put a very heavy tax burden on a U.S. companies, and then we have this very complicated and long U.S. tax code, which is full of loopholes and twists and contradictions and and special favorite treatment to some groups, like large companies that can take advantage of these different techniques, instead of having a very simple tax system that treats everybody the same as what is what we should have.
Yeah. When we talk about tax code, we've been talking about Pfizer, and their CEO Ian Reed has been very vocal about how upset he is about the tax climate in the United States recently. And then rumors are that Pfizer is looking to merge with Allergan, based in Ireland, to allow it to head overseas. What's your reaction to that? Do you agree with what he's saying, that the tax code is putting at these businesses at a, quote, tremendous disadvantage?
It's certainly not putting Pfizer at a tremendous disadvantage. I saw an article recently that said they face a worldwide average tax rate of 25.5%, and whereas if they were in Ireland, it would only be 7.5%. But I'm willing to bet apples to donuts that they're not paying anywhere near 25.5%. They're talking about what the rates would be if they brought the tax, you know, the profits home and paid them in the U.S., but I don't think they're paying anywhere near that now. They could, as I said, they've added another $15 billion this year to their foreign holdings. They're up from about 75 to 90, and they can keep doing that year after year after year. But if they do transfer their headquarters to Ireland, and Ireland is one of the favorite places, has a maximum tax rate, I think still is about 12.5%. They wouldn't have to play these games. You know, they would be an Irish company with European and Asian profits, and they would not owe U.S. taxes on that. But I'm not sure how much more they would be saving as a result of that. But they're not going to have to be faced with the prospect, I guess, that the U.S. government could change the law that allows them to accumulate so much money overseas. So he's not being completely transparent by any means.
For a company like Pfizer, what makes this worth it versus just keeping that money overseas? Is the money just a little more liquid when you are headquartered in the country where you have all of those profits being made?
Well, once they were overseas, one of the things they could do would be to lend money back to their U.S. subsidiary. Now, if they bring money back from overseas, it's considered a dividend remittance, and if it's held here longer than about 60 days, it would be subject to U.S. taxes. But if they were now a European company or an Irish company, one of the things they could do would be to lend their foreign profits back to their subsidiary in the U.S. and charge whatever interest rate they want. commonly a very high interest rate, which would shift more profits out of the U.S. overseas. So there are, again, tax gimmicks. And that's what I object to. I think we have the longest, most complicated tax code in the world. We've got some 77,000 pages in the U.S., the Internal Revenue Code. The whole Bible is about 1,400 pages. A picture 55 Bibles side by side, that's the size of the U.S. Internal Revenue Code. And I don't think anyone has read the entire thing. It changes, on average, more than one change a day, 365 days a year, year after year. And so many of the provisions are special provisions for certain groups and sometimes certain companies or certain individuals that others don't take advantage of. And I think one of the most damning aspects of this is the code is so complicated, so confusing, contradictory, really so bad, that a number of law firms have been able to get patents on tax scams that they've figured out. And if they can get the patent on this scam, nobody else can use it. And the tax code should apply to everybody and should apply it the same way. I have a tax plan that's been published, sensible tax reform, simple, just, and effective. And it would be, even in Congress's hands, couldn't possibly be more than 1,000 or 2,000 pages long. It will treat everybody exactly the same, and it will totally eliminate the motivation for companies like this to move overseas. And I think many of them would opt to come back to the U.S.
Keeping a tax plan simple, why do you think we haven't done that? Do you think there's, you talk about all kind of these special interests. Do you think that's what's
sure,
doing it?
Sure it is. It's taken what the tax went into effect a little over 100 years ago. And it's been growing and twisting and turning for 100 years and just keeps getting more and more complicated. And once most provisions get into the tax code, even if they prove to be ineffective or out of date, Congress doesn't remove them. They just keep getting more complicated. So I think we basically need to start over again. We need to, as you said, once special interests get protected, they will fight violently and with tremendous effort and huge amounts of money to make sure that they retain those special advantages. Whether it's oil companies getting tax credits, even when they're making tens of billions of dollars of profits, or sugar farmers getting hundreds of millions of dollars of benefits and then spending tens of millions in lobbying to protect their what they're doing. Farmers with their advantages, educators, the defense industry. There's a major Air Force jet program underway that has been shown to be not very good, incredibly expensive. The Air Force would like to drop it, but Congress won't let them drop it because so many congressmen get lobbied by companies in their districts that benefit from the program. This is the kind of confusion and irrationality that we deal with here. My tax program actually should have tremendous support from businesses because I would eliminate the corporate income tax. I would eliminate the personal income tax on all individuals earning less than $1 million and shift to a federal consumption tax with ample protection for the poor and the middle class. And it would be one that everybody would be treated the same roles. If any change took place, it would affect everybody the same way. There would be no special benefits or disadvantages to different groups. It would be a tremendous stimulation. And as I said, any company that's tempted to move abroad or has moved abroad for tax avoidance would be likely to come home because they wouldn't need to be hiding over there.
Have you tried to tell this plan to any of the presidential candidates?
Oh yes, and I've been to Washington. I met with the Senate Tax Committee in June. I've talked with the Tax Foundation and Citizens for Tax Reform and different groups. But it's an enormous task, and it's really difficult to get a really truly new idea out there for consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on a little bit from the tax code and kind of the benefits of these tax inversions, we've also seen the flip side of a tax inversion rear its head recently. West Michigan pharmaceutical company Perrigo moved its headquarters overseas in 2013. And now the big news about Perrigo is that the company Mylan, which is also based overseas, tried and ultimately failed to take over Perrigo. How related do you think the tax inversion is to that takeover attempt?
A good question. Perrigo did it first. They did it in 2013 or 14 and took over this Israeli company headquartered in Dublin and did their inversion. But remember, all of their senior management has stayed here. Mylan just did the inversion this year, early this year. But theirs was into Netherlands. And so Ireland and Netherlands each have some interesting wrinkles in their tax code, which tend to attract a lot of companies. Well, then they turned around and are trying to tried to take over Perrigo. And of course, Perrigo then turned around and said to its Michigan supporters and U.S. supporters, hey, you don't want this Netherlands company taking us over. They didn't want anybody to remember that they'd converted to an Irish company. And now there's a company trying to take over Mylan. And Mylan is turning to the U.S. government and say, hey, our You know, our headquarters might be in the Netherlands, but our heart and brain is still in the U.S. Help us out. But going back to your question, if Perrigo had not done the tax inversion, I don't know if that would have affected Mylan's decision, because Mylan had already made the conversion, and I'm not sure that Perrigo's being overseas has added anything to it.
Do you think a company like Perrigo being overseas, though, with the laws the way that they are and just not being in the U.S., puts a company like that more at risk of a takeover?
Yes, that's exactly what Mylan was saying, that if they were perceived to be a U.S. company by the U.S. Justice Department, the Justice Department would have to approve a foreign pharmaceutical company taking over an American one. But if it's a Dutch pharmaceutical company, the U.S. government would typically wash its hands. That's, you know, that's a problem for the Dutch to decide. And that's what both Perrigo and Mylan have perceived as, you know, there were some extra advantages to being truly American companies.
Do you think, looking at it, is it worth it? Do you think these companies have considered enough the fact that, you know, especially Perrigo considered enough, oh, we are more at risk now of maybe losing control over ourselves?
I would love to ask the senior management that. That would be a very good question.
What do you think that they would say? Do you have any, have other companies talked about this at all? Is this something that...
Well, you know, this whole tax inversion thing has been around for at least 30 or 35 years. And some companies recognized it, you know, a long time ago, but it spread very slowly. And I think that part of it was fear of what the U.S. government might do, or what it might do to, you know, your public image in the U.S. But in recent years, with so many companies starting to do it publicly, I think it's kind of reached a watershed where more and more companies are going to be looking at it. The shareholders are going to be putting pressure, and the board of directors putting pressure. Look what these other companies have done. We need to do it too. And, if it's going to save us, a lot of tax money, let's go ahead and do it. So I think we're going to continue to see, a lot of that. You know, early this year, Medtronic, the medical device company, moved from their headquarters from Minnesota to Ireland. Burger King worldwide last year moved their headquarters from Florida to Canada. Perrigo from Michigan to Ireland. Eaton Corporation, which has a big operation over in Marshall and some others in Michigan as well, moved their headquarters from Ohio to Ireland back in 2012. Delphi Automotive, the Michigan auto parts company, moved their headquarters to the island of Jersey in the English Channel back in 2009. Michael Kors, something that your fashion-oriented listeners may be interested in, moved their headquarters from New York to Hong Kong about 12 years ago. Fruit of the Loom moved from Kentucky to the Cayman Islands. Tyco, Transocean, Seagate Technology, the makers of computer memories, moved from California to Ireland. So
it just goes on and on.
It goes on and on.
Yeah. When it comes to just looking at the local economy around here, Allegan Perrigo is such a huge part of that economy. Pfizer is still a huge part of the economy around here. Should we be concerned at all that the companies that are such big drivers of our economy are becoming headquartered overseas? Are any of those jobs, you think, at risk? Or do you think it's something where it's just a legal loophole? It won't actually affect the jobs around here?
Well, we've already seen that here in Kalamazoo and Portage. Upjohn Pharmaceutical is headquartered here. Then it was taken over by Pharmacia. And if I remember correctly, the headquarters, and that was, a Swedish company. They moved their headquarters, I think, initially to London. And, of course, they sold off their farm products division, and they clearly moved all the senior administrative staff away. And then Pharmacia was taken over by Pfizer, And, I think the further removed the senior management of a company is, the more likely they are to take decisions with different units without much consideration for the local community in which they're located. Now, right now, Perrigo has shifted their legal headquarters, but all the senior management, the ones that really that did it, Mr. Papa and the others, are still in Allegan. And as long as they stay there, that's very reassuring. But the reason Governor Snyder and others fought very hard, and I've never seen this happen before, where the governor of the state steps up and tries to get the shareholders to vote against this foreign takeover, would be that the headquarters, the actual functioning headquarters, would no longer be in Allegan. It would be in either in the Netherlands or in Pennsylvania, which is where I think Mylan is headquartered. And that would be a much more serious consideration than just Perrigo's decision to go to Dublin.
Yeah, so it's very much almost a loyalty thing. The further away you get, the less loyal you are to your local community.
Exactly. And I think the governor and others had the right to be very concerned about what was going to happen. There wasn't much of a to-do about moving the headquarters to London, because we were assured that the functional headquarters would remain here. But with a takeover by a third party, this Mylan, I think it could have been a very different situation with much more dire consequences.
So what would you tell somebody on the street who maybe knew who you were from your book or something like that, who lived in Kalamazoo or Allegan or something, and came up to you and said, oh, what should I be worried? What should I be thinking right now?
Well, I mean, I would say I think the strong fight that was put up by the management of Perrigo and the governor and others was well placed. And I think that was not, unreasonable paranoia. This was reasonable paranoia.
Good. Well, that was most of what I wanted to talk with you about. The last thing, I guess, is, do you think the only solution to all of this, all of these legal loopholes, all of these companies going back and forth, do you think the only real solution to it is tax reform?
Yes, absolutely. As long as the tax code remains where it is now, there are so many loopholes and it is so conflicting, and there are so many ways to squeeze through the cracks, that companies are incredibly sensitive to looking for tax savings opportunities. Now, even if the law changes to make it unattractive to do a tax inversion, there's still the huge loophole that allows them to, Apple to accumulate $250 billion overseas without paying U.S. taxes. Now, the U.S. is one of the few major countries in the world that tax the foreign earnings of their companies. Now, this is one of the foundational issues. In Britain, in Germany, in Japan, their companies do not pay national taxes on what they earn overseas. But I think it's going to become a more difficult problem for those countries as well, because European and Asian companies are realizing that, hey, we can use these same gimmicks that the American companies are using by shifting our German profits or our Japanese profits outside of the home country. And if Germany and Japan don't tax foreign profits, then, Toyota and Volkswagen and companies like this are in the process of shifting more of their profits overseas. And I think that some of these governments are going to have to face up to this and make some decisions as to whether they're going to allow that to continue.
Yeah, eventually, I guess Japan or Ireland could become sort of like the Delaware of the world, the tax haven for everybody.
Oh, yes, they're becoming that very much. Now, under sensible tax reform, my proposal, businesses would not pay income taxes at all. Therefore, there is no reason to be hiding overseas. They would have to pay tax on those past accumulated profits overseas. They would have a five-year period to bring them home, because that's the old tax code, and it's over a five-year period, my new one would phase in, the old one would phase out. But once they have done that, They can keep profits anywhere in the world. And plus, if a company was here in the U.S. and their profits weren't taxed here, why would they want to be anywhere else? We would be a very important tax haven for corporations. We would also be protecting most Americans from any income tax. We would be taxed on what we spend. There'd be more to invest, and we wouldn't need 401ks and IRAs and things like that. I think there would be a very strong boost to the American economy.
Yeah, well, for your sake and for the country's sake, I hope that things lean in that direction sometime soon.
Well, I would be delighted to come and talk to you about my tax reform proposal.
Please do. All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for talking with us.
Robbie, my pleasure.